let's get started by just telling me where, when, and where you were born.
I was born at 1013 Detroit Avenue in Monroe, Michigan, in my parents' home, October 1st, 1934.
Okay. You had brothers and sisters. How many did you have?
I had two sisters and one brother.
Okay. Do you remember what the name of the school was that you attended as a child?
Christensen School.
Christensen School here in Monroe. How far, what education level did you get to?
10th.
10th grade? And then you quit school for, to get a job or?
To work.
And what was your first job?
My first job when I quit school was for the DNR working at the state park.
And how old were you?
15.
15? And what did that job entail? What did you have to do?
Mostly cleaning up. That's right. Mostly cleaning up on after picnics and trimming trees. And at that time, the park used to flood a lot. And we'd have to rake the sand a lot, clean the parking lots out.
Okay. How long did you work at that job?
Just for the summer.
Okay. And then what was your next job after that?
I went to work at a gas station for Russ Minnie.
And how old were you then?
16.
16. Did you work there very long?
I worked there till I was 17 and a half, so I went into service. A year and a half.
Okay. What year did you go into service then?
April 2nd, 1952.
And this was the Korean War that you were, did you enlist or were you?
I enlisted.
You enlisted. Did they have the draft then?
They had the draft. My brother was going to get drafted, so I went with him.
That was a good idea, stay together. So where were you stationed at?
I first went to San Antonio, Texas, and I went to a school in Biloxi, Mississippi. And then I got stationed in Peoria, Illinois.
And what branch of the service were you in?
United States Air Force.
Air Force. And what was your rank or position? Or
I was in food service.
Food service?
Mm-hmm.
And what did that entail?
We went to a cook school, meat cutting school, and baking school.
And when you weren't working, what did you do for entertainment?
Worked at a Ford garage, washing cars.
And did they have like officers' clubs and things like that, dances and stuff that you could go to?
Not at that base we didn't. It was just a radar site. There was only 150 people there.
Okay, so besides working, what did the guys do for entertainment?
There really wasn't a whole lot to do there in Peoria.
There was no, you guys didn't go to bars or go dancing to clubs or anything?
No, we never did none of that. My brother was there with me, and we really didn't do too much.
So you just stayed on the base?
Yeah, mostly. Stayed on the base most of the time. We did play pool on the base and a little bit of cards.
Okay, so did you ever actually see any frontline action then, or did you stay at that same base?
No, I was at that base for almost a year. Then I got shipped to Korea.
And what was that like? Were you in the actual...
I wasn't in the actual fighting. The war the war was over in July, and I got there the following January. We were still restricted to the base, but the war was over.
So what did you have to do there?
In Korea? I worked in the kitchen, in an officer's mess.
So why, if the war was over, why were there still troops there?
There were still a lot of snipers and stuff out in the villages, so you couldn't go out unless you went out four or five together.
Oh, so they shipped you over there to feed the men.
Right.
All right. We just, in one of our last chapters, talked about blacks and gays in the military. Was there much talk of that when you were in the service?
No.
No, you didn't? Were there any blacks that served with you?
Quite a few.
Yeah.
In fact, in food service, there was more blacks than there was white.
But there was no racial tension or any problems like that?
Not while I was there. I do know that there were certain bases they couldn't send blacks, they didn't send blacks to.
And what year was that you went to Korea?
52, or 54 I went to Korea, but I was in service from 52 to 56.
So there was probably still a lot of segregation, blacks, whites,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
stuff. Okay, and if there were any gays in the service, you didn't know any of them?
No.
Didn't know anything about it? Okay. All right, so how long were you in Korea then?
A year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
So you were in the service a total of?
4 years.
4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back to the
back
same base?
I went to Oklahoma, Ellis Air Force Base in Oklahoma.
And then still stayed in the food service?
That's where I got discharged from.
And what did you do then after getting out of the service?
Did you want to know what rank I obtained?
Oh yeah, what rank did you
hold? I obtained Staff Sergeant.
Staff Sergeant,
yeah.
Okay. And did you come back to Monroe then?
Yes.
With your brother?
No,
did
he didn't
stay?
Come back for a year later.
Oh.
He stayed in Illinois.
Okay. Then when you got back to Monroe, did you go back to live with your parents or?
No, we had a mobile home in Oklahoma.
You were married then?
Yes.
Or you got married when you got back?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what kind of occupation did you take then when you got back from Korea?
That's when I started the septic tank cleaning business.
Okay, and that would be Ray's septic tank.
Right. I worked for a guy in Oklahoma on my days off.
Cleaning septic tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was a business that you started.
Mm-hmm.
You owned and operated
right.
it. Okay. All right. What about some of the other businesses that you owned and operated?
Well, I started Noble Ambulance Service in 1979 when all the funeral homes went out of the ambulance service. And I had 4 ambulances at the time and about probably 10 employees.
And the name of that service was what?
Noble Ambulance Service.
Now, how did you get your business?
Mostly through the hospital, through the emergency room, and all the funeral homes that went out of business, they all gave me the calls that came to them. They referred me.
So the people called you directly
yes.
for transport?
At that time, it was no 911.
Okay, so now what about when they had accidents and stuff like that? How did you find out about those?
The Sheriff's Department, State Police called us, City Police.
Was this before police scanners then that you couldn't really pick up that
we
kind of
track? We had police scanners.
But that was that legal then to?
It was illegal.
To get business like that?
But we did it.
You have to make a living. Okay. Was there any competition in that business then?
At that time, Bennett Ambulance Service was in town.
Okay, so it was kind of a competitive business
mm-hmm.
back then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how long did you do that kind of work?
Almost 3 years.
But while you had the ambulance service, did you maintain the septic tank,
yep.
Septic tank business also?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then was there any political positions that you held during that time?
No.
No, you didn't run for any kind of office or anything?
Well, I ran for sheriff in 1962. And
who'd you run against?
Bud Harrington. I lost by 1,500 votes.
Did you demand a recount?
No.
Okay.
And then again in 1972 I ran against him.
Harrington again?
Yeah.
Was it a clean campaign or was there a little mudslinging?
The second year there was a lot of mudslinging. The first year there was time there wasn't.
Now how did you get your campaign off the ground? I'm sure you didn't advertise on television. Did you use mail or word of mouth or?
I bought a van, had it painted up and had a lot of literature, and we'd go out to different places and hand it out.
Did you go to people's homes and
we went
kind of
lots of door to door.
Because did you advertise on television then, or?
No, just in the newspaper.
The newspaper.
Ads in the newspaper.
But you never won sheriff?
No.
Okay, now I'm curious to find out if politics are pretty much the same way they are today, if there was any underhanded campaigning going on.
Quite a bit. There was, we would put signs up one day and they'd be torn down the next. And at that time, there was a radio station in Monroe called Open Mic. and there was a lot of people that would call in and make statements that were untrue, and they went over the air about you, and a lot of it was just put up to make you look bad.
Uh-huh. So it was a lot of made up lies and things like that.
But the biggest thing was down signs. And
that still happens today?
Still happens today.
Mm-hmm. So did Harrington actually get on the radio and say things against you?
No, Harrington didn't himself.
His party, from his party.
Probably deputies.
Did you ever do that?
Not on the radio.
Did anybody you know do it in your defense or sling mud?
We tried to defend it a couple times when they said different things about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. No other good stories from campaigning, huh? Your house didn't get shot at, or?
Well, a couple times we had meetings at my house on different things, and when the guys left, they got pulled over and got tickets down the streets for little things like a taillight out, license plate out, or the light on the license plate was out, and just minor things just to harass them.
So this was after Harrington won the first year, then the police were for him, and they were...
Right.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, now, I know you owned other businesses in Monroe County throughout the years. Just tell me about a few of those.
Well, I owned an excavating business. In 1976, when they started putting a lot of sewers in out at the beach area, I thought the septic tank business would slow down, so I went in the excavating business, and we put in a lot of sewers out there when they changed from septic tank to sewer. And then after we got bigger share of the sewers in a year or two, I started putting in septic tanks and seepage beds. Did a lot of that.
And then after all the sewers went in, you started the sewer cleaning business.
Right.
And you still had the septic tank business.
Yes.
So you had both covered.
I had both.
Now, was there a lot of competition in that area then, too, or did you have different companies?
There's always been quite a few septic tank cleaners, but a lot of them come and went over the years. But there has been, right now, there's probably 10 in Monroe County.
Okay. And excavation, you did that for the sewer work. You never excavated, like, building sites or anything like that?
No, I just did mostly installing sewers and septic tanks.
Okay. And were there any other businesses? No. Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about your campaign for Frenchtown supervisor. You ran one time?
One time.
For that. And when was that?
1984.
And who did you run against?
Bob Norwood.
Bob Norwood.
He was the incumbent.
Okay.
I ran against him and beat the primary.
Did he ask for a recount?
No, he didn't.
Okay, so you then became Frenchtown supervisor, which entailed what? What was your job description?
Taking care of the whole budget, was over the building department, and was chairman of the board at all the board meetings.
And how long were you?
I was there for 4 years.
4 years?
Mm-hmm.
No, you ran for that a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you? Against
Spaz. Yeah.
But
and I lost.
Do you remember what the count on that one was?
There was four people ran, and I come in second. And I think I lost by, I think, maybe 300 votes.
When you were Frenchtown supervisor, was there a lot of kind of dirty politics going on in Frenchtown?
No, at that time there wasn't.
It was pretty cut and dry.
But while I was there, we had the beach authority got voted in, and that's where all that still didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. That's the different beaches?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that? What does that entail?
It entails their free garbage pickup. We put all new roads in, 49 miles of new roads. Four great big lift stations, pump stations for beach flooded with all the drainage, and repaired a lot of the dikes. And then we also put in the fire millage and got that approved while I was there for Frenchtown Fire, for full-time firemen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when
I was a volunteer fireman too for 13 years for Frenchtown.
You've done it all. Okay. Now this beach association.
Mm-hmm.
That is the Stony Point Beach and the Park View.
From Fermi all the way to 75 and Dixie.
Okay.
Is in the resort authority, they call it.
Okay, and they had a...
And the reason we put Fermi in there is 90% of the taxes is on Fermi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I wanted to ask you if you remember Monroe when you were a kid, what the downtown area looked like as compared to today?
It was a lot like it is now, only there was a lot more stores. And
what were the roads like?
Front Street was brick. The brick they have over in LaGranger Square now, that's what the whole Front Street was like that. And the streetcar track run down the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And down Monroe Street.
Now, wasn't there a train track that ran east and west down...
On First Street,
because they just
they what? Just took that out maybe 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That went to Ida. That's what that track was for.
And what?
To take passengers. It actually started down. It started down on Kentucky and First Street and ran all along First Street, and then cut across the city up to 7th Street, across through there, went out through where the new high school is, and up across Dunbar Road into Ida.
Huh.
But they used it a lot for, I think, to ship grain at that time, too. They brought it into omelet milling there.
Mm-hmm. So it was more transportation of goods than people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And many cars? Mostly cars, or were we still using horses to get around?
No, there was always cars when
there
I was...
Okay.
Yeah, I never remember horses.
No, horses or carriages. Oh, that was before you were
born. A little before me.
Okay. All right. And... I wanted to ask you, too, Custard's statue hasn't always been where it is now, right?
No.
How many times do you think it's been moved?
First, it was at the Granger Square in front of the courthouse. Then they moved it down to Soldiers and Sailors Park on Front Street. And then they moved it to where it is now on Elm and Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Are you proud that Custer is a part of Monroe County?
Yeah.
Okay. Now... we'll get back to the last couple of years. You ran for Board of County Commissioners. You were first elected in what year?
88.
For what district?
District 4. That was serving Frenchtown.
Frenchtown. And how many terms did you serve?
Four two-year terms.
Okay. What was your duties as Commissioner of District 4?
Just making sure everybody out there got their share of the county money.
Okay. Was that a full-time position then for you?
No, part-time.
That was part-time.
Mm-hmm. We had 4 meetings a month, then committee meetings.
Okay. So besides Board of Commissioners then, you had a regular job that you did every day, or were you retired while you were...
I was sort of semi-retired then.
Okay. Let's just go back to when you were younger, and let's just kind of try and paint a picture of what Monroe, downtown Monroe, looked like and what it had for young people to do.
There was 2 movie theaters, the Monroe Theater and the Family Theater. It was right across the street from it where a parking lot is now. And then down in the east side of Monroe, there was a Majestic Theater. And that was most of the entertainment at the time, to go to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys have any kind of recreational sports or anything like that? Any organized sports?
No.
No t-ball or softball or anything like that?
There was a, and then there was a ice cream parlor that used to be where, what's the name of that? Tiffany's. That was a Franklin ice cream. We used to go there a lot. And I think it cost, at that time, it was 12 cents to get in the theater, the movie theater. And every weekend, the Family Theater had Western movies. We always went to that.
Marathon. Okay.
Then right downtown Monroe, where Fifth Third Bank is, that was a 5 and 10 dime store. And then there was another dime store next on down a little bit. Baisley's Food or Meat Market was along in there, where Frenchie's jewelry store is. And then there was the east side. It was just like a small town down on the east side of Monroe. There was probably 40 to 50 little businesses down there. And then all over Monroe, different areas, there was little grocery stores that a lot of people made out of their houses. They'd use the front of their house to sell groceries and lived in the back. There were several of them around Monroe.
Just small family-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
just neighborhood.
Why do you think the East End was like a small city in itself? Because really today it kind of is too. Were there ethnic groups down there, or do you think it was just...
On the east side?
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly Italian and colored was on the east side.
And they kind of stayed there?
They
and
pretty much stayed there and did their shopping down there.
Yeah.
And then uptown was a little different.
Did the people from uptown go to the east end much, or...?
My family did. We used to do a lot of shopping down there, but we lived more on the east side of Monroe.
Because you had made the statement to me that you've always lived in Monroe your whole life, but north of River Raisin.
Yeah.
You've never lived.
I never lived south of it.
And no particular reason.
No particular reason. It just seemed like everywhere I lived was north of the river.
Okay. Is there anything else you can add to the history of Monroe that somebody would find interesting?
Well, one thing I remember about Monroe, a lot of people don't, is the fairgrounds used to be down on East Front Street where Barron Oil is. That was the first fair, county fair I went to. And then it moved out on North Dixie Highway where Bob Evans Western is. And then it moved out on South Custer where it is today.
Hmm.
A lot of people probably don't remember being down on Front Street.
That was probably a big thing like it is now,
yeah.
The county fair.
It was nowhere near that size, but it was a big, something big to go to.
Hmm.
And then Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, circus used to come out on North Dixie Highway, and they'd come in on the train track there by Noble Avenue, and they set up where that Messina Concrete is in there. That's where they used to have a big circus every year.
So Monroe was fairly thriving. Would you consider it like a vacation center? Do you think it was that?
No, not really. No.
They just kind of took care of their own people.
Mm-hmm.
And entertain them. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Newton strike and tell me what you remember about
that.
That's
what brought my dad to Monroe. He worked for Newton Steel in Youngstown, Ohio. And when they opened up Newton Steel here in Monroe, where Ford Motor Company is right now, he transferred up here with them. And after they was up here a few years, they went on a big strike down there, and the most thing I can remember from the strike is at the end of Detroit Avenue and Elm Avenue, we went down there one day to take my dad down to picket, and they had rolled four or five cars that tried to break the picket line off into the River Raisin, and I remember seeing them laying down there in the river.
The cars laying in the river?
The cars were laying in the river.
Now, where was the plant located?
Where Ford Motor Company is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, how long did the strike last?
I really don't remember how long it lasted.
Do you remember
it
why?
It seems like it was a long one.
Do you remember why they were striking? Was it wages?
Wages.
Wages, mm-hmm. Benefits?
And, working conditions.
Working conditions. Do you remember your dad saying what the conditions were like in the plant?
He used to say how it was so hot in there, a lot of guys passed out. You know, right on the job, the heat and stuff was so terrible in there.
What kind of hours did they work?
They just worked 8 hours.
8 hours, that was it?
Uh-huh.
How old do you think you were when this strike happened?
I was really young, but I remember it, you know, being...
a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
In Monroe?
And then they just finally shut the plant down. They never did settle the strike.
Did they ever reopen the plant then?
No.
Never did?
Mm-hmm. That's when my dad went on, they called it the WPA back then. It was sort of like a government program. He went out and dug ditches by hand.
And I think that was called the Workers' Progress Administration.
I think so.
Yeah. And he was compensated for doing these public works.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you know what happened to a lot of the steel workers then? Did they leave town, or?
Some of them left town. A lot of them got other jobs. My dad never got another job till when he went to Monroe Paper Products. He got a job there. He was lucky to get a job there. One of our neighbors worked there, and he got stuck in front of our house, and my dad went out and dug him out for the snow, and he asked him what he was doing home, and he said he didn't have a job, so he got him a job at Monroe Paper Products.
Well, that's nice. Okay, I want to go back to the time when you were in the service, because I know there's a story that you wanted to tell about once you were released from the service and you were on your way home.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
That was in April of 56. I got discharged, and there was a colored guy that worked with me. He was only about 18, 19 years old, and he lived in Chicago, and he asked me would I give him a ride and drop him off in Chicago on my way home. And so I told him yes. And at the time, I was pulling my mobile home behind my pickup truck, my septic tank truck that I bought in Oklahoma. And we stopped in Kansas to go in a restaurant to eat. And me and him got out of the truck and started in the restaurant. And they told us that I could come in, but he couldn't. And I felt real bad about it. And he went back and sat in the truck, and I got something to eat and went back to the truck and ate with him. But I thought that was pretty bad, him being in service and couldn't even go in a restaurant to eat.
Yeah, we had just learned in class just a couple weeks ago that that was a big disappointment for black people who were in the service, because a lot of them had achieved, you know, high ranks in,
mm-hmm,
the service, but when they came out, they were treated just like the black people they were when they went into the service.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently, this probably was happening when you enlisted, and then, of course,
mm-hmm,
it continued then once you got out of the service.
Now, when I was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi, it was real bad down there. They couldn't even have the same drinking fountains and restrooms as white.
Do you remember when Martin Luther King came in and the busing boycott happened? Do you remember that,
mm-hmm,
with Rosa Parks?
Mm-hmm.
Were you out of the service by then?
Yeah, I was out then.
Did you see much of that segregation going on in Monroe?
Quite a bit in Monroe, too.
Did they have separate?
I remember once out to Al Diner at Monroe and Dunbar Road, a black family come in there, and there was empty seats, and they went to the door and told them that they was full, they didn't have no room. And this was in the late 60s.
So it still
went on quite a bit in Monroe.
Now, you never really had any prejudice against black people, or do you think you were kind of raised to have those prejudices?
Well, I went to school with a lot of them.
So you had friends that were black?
Mm-hmm.
You never thought?
No.
That it was a problem. Okay. Was there anything else? Any other good stories from Monroe history?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, all right. Well, that would be the end then. Thank you.